You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, different guests and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. Hello, and welcome to this edition of You Talking to Me, youtalkingtome.ca on the All Talk Radio Network, alltalkradio.net. Today we're talking about do-it-yourself home improvements and renovations, and we're talking to Lynn Medler and Dennis Phillips. I'd like to welcome you both to the show.
Thanks, Big JD.
Glad to be here.
Great. Let's get started with some general information, I guess, about home improvements and doing things yourself as opposed to hiring out. Why do-it-yourself? Why would someone opt to do their own home improvements as opposed to hiring somebody else or...
Well, I think most people probably think of it as saving money, and certainly that's it. But when we started doing it, for the most part, Dennis knew how to, so we didn't even think of hiring out. And over the years, we've just learned more and more and doing more and more ourselves.
I think there has to be a motivation to want to learn more.
Right.
No matter what skill level you've started at, if you just want to learn more and you start out slowly and the skills start to improve, but there's got to be the interest there to begin with.
Do you find you do a lot of the jobs separately? Does one of you maybe take on one particular area and somebody else the other? Or do you do a lot of the jobs together?
Well, we both have strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Like I always joke, Dennis is getting better, but one of his weaknesses is doing caulking. He usually makes it look like Cool Whip. I do the caulking, but he does the electrical and the plumbing and framing, and I help with that as much as I can. And Dennis does the, we'll put drywall up, and I do the mudding and the taping and the sanding. But for the most part, we try to do as much as we can together.
Mm-hmm. So you find you do some of the, I guess, the bigger, heavier jobs, more labor intensive maybe?
Well, I'm not so sure it's that so much as that we have different skills. Like Lynn, for instance, is great in the design area, and I'm not.
Right,
so,
okay.
So we played each other's strengths. Mm-hmm. And so that is, obviously, I guess it would come out of that communication becomes a great thing. If you don't know how to communicate when you first start doing it yourself, if you're doing it with a partner, it won't take long until you've got to get the communication going, or else it's going to be a disaster.
Right. How about outside help? As far as maybe friends and family, neighbors, perhaps, do you usually take on the jobs yourselves, or do you?
Well, we initially start our jobs ourselves, and luckily we have two people across the street that are doing renovations all the time as well. So the three of us, if we need a hand, we'll call each other for, sometimes you just need an extra set of hands for 10 minutes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we don't get into big renovations together, but we do help each other out and share tools and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're really lucky that way. And family, sure, same thing. We do call for help when we need it. But for the most part, most of the things that we do, we can do together, or we have to call a professional. Like a countertop, we can't make a countertop. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dennis could, but for the countertops in the kitchen, we had those made and installed. It's just something that's too time intensive for us.
Yeah, that's sure a limitation everybody has to think of is time. It depends on what your work schedule is and the time you have available to work on it. And there comes a point at which you just say, enough's enough, and we better hire someone to do that. It's just not worth the extra time of dragging the job out.
Right. Sometimes a professional, that's what he's doing full time. And then, you know, when you're doing it yourself, obviously you have to look at your schedule as far as work and things like that and anything else that you might have going on. Purchasing, renting, borrowing equipment. Do you have most of your own equipment? Because I know that you do take on quite a bit of renovating.
We sure do have a good line of tools, but mm-hmm. As you can imagine, they've built up over the years. It's not something you don't say, I'm going to start renovations.
And I'm going to go buy everything.
So I'll go and buy everything.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple of reasons for not doing that. One, of course, is the finances, but the other part of it is in terms of need. It's really out of need that you mm-hmm. have to buy. And then there's a whole set of decisions in terms of what you'll buy. If it's something you're going to use a lot, that you need a real high-quality tool, you spend the money. Mm-hmm. If it's something that you're rarely going to use, you know, you maybe buy from a cheaper line of tools or whatever, or certainly even consider rental if it's so a one-time thing.
Can you pretty much rent anything that you need to do?
Most renovations,
improvements?
I would think you can rent.
Can you rent a hammer? Can you just go rent a hammer?
I doubt that.
You can go to Dollarama, I guess, and buy a hammer for a buck, but I was just curious if you can actually rent regular everyday tools. I would imagine there's some people that don't have a hammer or pliers or maybe an old lady in an apartment and she wants to tighten something and could she go rent a...
But really, for the cost of renting, you'd buy one.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's something else you have to consider, too. When we were doing the tiling of the kitchen floor, we were looking at renting a tile cutter, and for the price of renting one, we bought one.
Right.
So you have to really consider those things, too.
Yeah, I guess you just weigh your options for most everything. And as far as borrowing, I know you mentioned your neighbors, and would your neighbors have many different tools than you might have, or do you find most of the same type of stuff?
Borrowing tools usually isn't a good idea.
Yeah. I would imagine that for lots of reasons.
Yeah. You know, if someone has a good line of tools, like I have a good line of tools, I don't want to lend them out readily because they don't come back in the same condition. And
you don't want to have to ask or tell somebody that, you know, something's wrong with it and that, you know, you're going to have to buy a new one or something. That's definitely understandable. And how do you know when you need to call in a professional? I mean, I would imagine when it's something that you feel that maybe you can't take on or maybe requires...
When you get too tired.
Yeah, it's usually when you get too tired. There's the odd time there's a safety issue. Like when we had our swimming pool put in, we hired a professional electrician to do the wiring around the pool. And even though, you know, I knew the theory of what it should be...
Don't put the wires too close to the water.
There you go.
Well, it comes down to that, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to have it on my conscience if someone got hurt. And so you hire somebody that's their job, that's their specialty, because it's a safety issue. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, hiring professionals, quite frankly, has been a bit of more of a stressor to us than doing it on our own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've run into, I don't know, you end up with... getting rid of the professional and doing it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Fixing up his mess.
Yeah, that's a generalization and some people should indeed be hiring a professional for certain jobs.
And we've had great professionals. We've had great contractors come in here. But a lot of it is that also waiting for somebody to come if they don't show up and then doing it on their time. And it's just nice that we know we can do it when we can do it and we count on ourselves and knowing that what our timelines are and we're not rushing. So
I don't imagine you take some pride in your work and the outcome and when you know you can look at it when it's finished and say, you know, we did that. It's an accomplishment too.
You know, actually, that ties well to your last question because that's maybe a good way for someone to gauge whether or not to hire a professional. What is the outcome going to be? Are you going to be proud of it? Is it going to look like it's a homemade job, or is it going to look
if you're
like
consistently
a professional job?
Making a mess? That's,
you know, you should be hiring somebody to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and also when you do it yourself, it's another thing about doing it yourself. If something goes wrong, plumbing or electrical, or anything. If something goes wrong down the road, you can remember how you did it and why things are going wrong and backtrack. So that's helpful too when you've done it yourself. Not that everything's ever go wrong, Dennis. No, I'm not saying that.
But there is something to, and again, a person's got to judge what their own skill levels are. You don't just take it on if you don't have the skill to do it. But if you do have the skill to do it, something that's really reassuring is that you know what's hidden in behind that wall. There are no secrets back there. Whereas if a professional did it, you don't know what's back there.
Right. And if you did decide to take on something on your own, then you open it up and see what somebody else has done, then... At least, like you mentioned, you kind of know what's there especially if you started the job.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you did it yourself, you know it was done right. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes when we get in, we're renovating, tear something apart that a professional did, and we find out that there's some sins buried behind the wall.
And sometimes it's the people. Opposite, too. Or people. Yeah. And sometimes it's the opposite, too. Sometimes you've done a job, like there's a few things that we've done in here where other people don't see the flaws, but we do. So there's the opposite as well.
Right. Okay.
But that's the perfectionism part.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and start things off with reasons why somebody might take on some of these jobs, do home renovating and home improvements, especially doing it on their own. This is You Talking to Me with Big JD, and again, talking to Lynn Medler and Dennis Phillips on do-it-yourself home improvements and renovations. They've done quite a bit of this work themselves, and it's great to be able to find out some of the information, some of the tips and tricks, possibly things that have worked out well, things that have gone wrong, possibly, and that may help some of our listeners. And some of the reasons that you might do do-it-yourself home improvements or renovation, would they be value, reselling the house maybe, just for change sometimes, get tired of looking at something and want to...
I think originally when we bought the house, which was 40 years old at the time, there were just some things that need to be changed. And so we took down some walls and we changed some things and just did exactly what we wanted aesthetically. Now when we're doing renovations, it's has to be more thoughtful because we're thinking of resale. So at first I was just doing whatever I thought I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And now we're trying to be a little bit more sensible and looking at if we had to sell the house tomorrow, if something happened, what would other people think of it? So unfortunately you have to think that way when you come to a certain point in your lives. And that's what we're doing now, is trying to make it something that we can live with and that we love, but we also have to think of the resale part too. Mm-hmm. But sure. And that's a big part of it too, is adding value to the house.
Right.
We know that we've added a lot of value to the house and mm-hmm. a lot of the changes that we've done.
And because you've done so much renovating and home improvements, and you're, you know, knowledgeable in that area, do you sometimes look at maybe something that hasn't been done in the house or something, and because you're familiar with a lot of the jobs and a lot of what it entails, and look at something and say, I'm just going to rip that out and change it, or I'm going to fix this, or I don't like this, so I'm going to change it just because you can, or because it's easy enough, as opposed to, I'm sure there's a lot of people that look at something and say, I'm not going to take this door out and build and make a double French door or something, because they have no idea what's involved in that.
Because
you look at some things and think that, you know, I'm going to do it just because we can.
Well, it's not just because we can. It's because that's what we want. You know, we see something, it's the wall between the kitchen and the dining room. We wanted to open it up and do mm-hmm. an open concept. And so it was the image of what we wanted is what started it. It wasn't because we knew we can. It was just, well, that's what we want.
So but it's not so much, it wouldn't be so much on your mind that that might be a difficult job or anything.
Sure.
Do you sometimes think that?
No.
Or is it just like, you know, we've done pretty much everything so we can...
Yeah.
Wouldn't be hard to tackle.
I think what you're trying to say, Big JD, is that some people will live with something just because they don't know how to do it, or it's just too much trouble to call somebody in.
Yeah.
So they'll just live with it the way it is. Maybe it doesn't bother them as much, but maybe they do think, oh, I'd like to do this, but calling somebody in or doing it themselves is just too much work.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. With us, very seldom do we do it. Like Dennis always says, it always starts with me saying, I've been thinking...
This is what I was just going to say. There's a process here. And the beginning of the process is Lynn saying, I've been thinking.
Uh-huh.
And right away, I can see the handwriting on the wall. I know where we're going.
Yeah. The marks on the wall, where you're going to cut and where you're going to drill.
Right.
Well, actually, literally right now, we're going to be getting our main floor bathroom. And I have a pencil and a tape measure in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I'm in there, I'm thinking, oh, this would look good like this, and this should be this size. And if you look at our bathroom wall right now, it has writing all over the wall.
Yeah. So instead of sitting reading a magazine or the newspaper, you're...
Literally, I can see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, you obviously learn a lot by doing home improvements and renovating yourself. And there are, I'm sure, other things that you learn in the process that are sort of directly, some indirectly related, like waste products. If you have some certain things like maybe rubber or asbestos in the house, different things that maybe need to that you have to be concerned with what you do with it after, maybe? Are there, have you ever come across anything like
that? We haven't had any undue problems that way. There certainly are scrap metal things, like when you tear out some copper and you're putting in plastic, and if you're tearing out galvanized pipes and you're putting in plastic or copper, then what do you do with it? And we're fortunate in this city in that there's a good recycling program. And actually, in this day and age, this stuff is actually worth good money. But as far as the safety issues like asbestos, we've never run into that kind of thing.
The house isn't that old that there was asbestos in the...
Well, not that we know of, anyway.
Yeah. No, it's old enough for it, but this house didn't have any of that in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's maybe move on to the interior and exterior and some of the work maybe that you've done and that you may find important for, you know, maybe listeners to... That might be the more important job somebody might want to take on for cosmetic reasons, possibly, or that... things maybe older in an older house that could use updating, like in the bathroom, maybe some smaller, easier jobs as far as piping, tubs and sinks and things like that. Are there...
I think probably the easiest thing to do to change your house is paint.
Yeah.
Probably the easiest and least expensive.
I guess ripping out your tub and your sinks and doing the plumbing and everything is not the easiest thing in the world, but...
Well, you need to have built up quite a backlog of skills.
Right.
Before you tackle something like that. And
what about like maybe the taps or something?
Oh, changing taps isn't that difficult, yeah.
Things like that that are cosmetic things, I guess, that people could do.
And just adding new taps would be pretty, would change a whole, the whole
change
room.
Change a look of,
Sure, for sure. Taps and even lighting, like changing the light fixture in the ceiling, putting a fan in, not that difficult.
Right, I guess that those would be a little bit easier ways to cosmetically change and
update. To start off.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about those too is you notice anymore, you go into some of the big box stores and so on selling materials, and they have courses. They'll show you on a Saturday morning how to do some basic whatever, certain sorts of skills. And I think that's a good way to begin. If a person takes on a whole huge job, like where we've done some major rip outs or whatever, that's not a good place to start. If they start, as you said, with say a set of taps, and you go and you ask for some help, ask questions.
How about books?
Home Depot and some, like, and I'm sure a lot of others, they have help books on how to do certain basic jobs. From what I've seen of those books, I could see where someone starting out could also get a bit lost with them. So you have to be able to be prepared to run back over to the store and say, all right, but mine doesn't look like this. It looks like this. How do I do that? And you can't be afraid to ask questions. To ask for help.
There's also, of course, the internet is a wonderful source.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. And cable TV, Channel 39, HGTV.
HGTV?
Yeah, House and Garden Television.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Renovations, constantly renovations. Just in some really good shows on people who have actually done some terrible DIYs and people who go in and fix them up. So those are great shows.
I guess those are some easier areas to start in most rooms is lighting and like even the kitchen for taps and things to change sort of how things look. And obviously painting and maybe some floor stuff. I don't know, carpeting or for some of the rooms. But kitchen, what about kitchen cupboards? Is that a...
Well, kitchen cupboards, I mean, paint, again, does wonders. Before we redid the kitchen, we took old brown cupboards and just painted them with white melamine and just brightened up the room 10 times brighter than it was. Yeah. It was wonderful, and it lasted for years. And the hardware on the kitchen cupboards, just changing the paint on the kitchen cupboards and the hardware and an inexpensive new laminate countertop would change the whole room.
And if you want to go up one notch from that, because for someone to take on, start building their own cabinets, I mean, if they haven't done anything like this before, that's a long, long way down the road before they get there. But you know, you can go to, again, to some of these, like Home Depot, and they have cabinets of set dimensions and so on, and you put them together and install them, and they give you instructions on how to install them. And so I don't think a person, you know, is a second level. If they're feeling a lot more ambitious than just the paint and cosmetic things, then they can even put in a new set. And then compromise a bit by then calling in somebody to do the countertop part of it. And,
right.
So you know, there's ways in which you can build your skills in stages.
I guess even there's, I've seen done before, they changed the cupboard doors.
Yep.
Put a whole new look at the cupboards, really,
yeah,
because you don't so much see the rest of it.
Yep, the same part stays there, and you put new cupboard doors, and here you've done a total remake on your kitchen without having to know how to do all that sort of thing, how to build cabinets or something.
Great stuff. We're going to take a break again, and we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, we're back here, and just to let our listeners know that they can take a look at the website, You Talking to Me, that's You Talking, the number 2, and me.ca. So you can pick up the podcast of the show if you missed it or would like to listen to it again. And of course, it's broadcast streaming over the All Talk Radio network. That's alltalkradio.net. And we're talking about do-it-yourself home improvements and renovations. And continuing on with interior work, how about like an attached garage? That's sort of interior, I guess. Your garage is attached. And it's, you got to go between in there.
It's a breezeway.
A breezeway.
It's a breezeway, big JD.
Every day, breezeway. Why do they call it a breezeway?
Because you could open the doors on either side of it and let the breeze go through.
Cool. In the summer, it's cool.
Yeah.
We did have a detached garage, and when we decided to redo the outside of the house, we decided to put the breezeway in the. Well, actually, it's a long story, but it all started with me wanting a nice big coat closet.
Oh,
and that's where the breezeway came in. And then we decided, well, we might as well put an attached garage on, and we just love it. Every time it rains or if it's really cold out, there's nothing like an attached garage. Anyone who has one knows that. So, and we didn't do that work. It was something that Dennis could do, but working full time, it just wasn't possible. Mm-hmm. So we had someone come in and do the framing.
Right.
We put the windows in and the doors and the electrical and did the siding and I did the insulation and all the other stuff, but we had someone come to do the framing.
I don't think they'd even build a house anymore with a detached garage, would they? They're all attached now, it seems.
Yeah.
Even without a breezeway, just that's attached right to the house.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Not like the old days when actually going out to the garage was, I don't know, there was just something about it. It wasn't part of the house, and you can go out there and hang out and do whatever, and you weren't actually in the house. And your breezeway is, I guess it would be a lot different than a sunroom. Would sometimes that be a part of maybe a sunroom? Could a breezeway be? Or I've seen, I think, breezeways before where they have some furniture and...
Oh, sure.
And sit in there and stuff like that. I guess they might consider it a sunroom, but a sunroom is usually more, I would think, something like at the back of the house.
Yeah.
You know, almost part of the backyard.
The way I recall the way the thing kind of built up was that in the days before air conditioning, they needed a place that was free of mosquitoes where they could sit in the evening.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, nowadays we all have air conditioning. And mm-hmm. But we also then go and put sunrooms on the back that are screened or whatever for people to sit out in. But
right.
In the 40s and 50s and this sort of thing, it was quite an innovation to put in the breezeways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess they kind of doubled it up as the another lounge kind of area or something like that.
Yeah, whereas for us now it's more of a utility thing.
Have you put on additions? Actual addition?
No, we just the building,
the garage.
Yeah. But no,
the front porch.
What you call a dormer out of the roof?
In the garage?
Do you have a dormer? No. You ever built out of the roof? Don't you put a build a room where the roof slopes and make it flat with a? Isn't that called a dormer?
We have one.
Yeah, we have two dormers at the top of the front, but they were there.
They're originals. Those are originals to the house. Yeah. Yeah. Don't get us in trouble here, Big JD. No, those are originals to the house. The only addition is the garage and the breezeway. Yeah.
And how about like attic? You have a finished attic? Or is that all part of the...
No.
No.
This is really what they call a story and a half. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have anything you would call an attic up there. It's just something you crawl through
when you're running some wires. Then you'll have the slanted ceiling up there, though.
There's a bit of a slanted ceiling.
What would be, I guess, an attic in...
But that's the story and a half on the second floor, yeah.
So it's not a full story, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just half the story.
We're going to get the full story here today.
Oh, bro.
How about flooring, carpets, pergo, laminate, real hardwood? Have you guys done flooring?
We came in with hardwood. We took up all the carpets. We don't like carpets just because they hold dirt and some molds and things like that. We did we pulled up the hardwood in the dining room and did the tiling ourselves. And haven't done any laminate, but it's certainly something that I would consider in certain areas of the house. But the tiling wasn't difficult. It was more very physically strenuous. You get to a certain age, you have to rethink what you're doing. Maybe we shouldn't have taken that on.
Well, we took some vacation time and jammed it into too tight a time period, and this old body's getting a little worn out for that kind of
stuff. How do you know when to like clean or redo a floor as opposed to maybe ripping it right out? And
well, the hardwood floors that we have in the house, we have to get redone. We'll definitely have those done by a professional, because especially in older hardwood floors, they'll need some filling, some sanding, and it is difficult. If the floors are in really bad shape, then luckily you can buy really good hardwood floors and do it yourself these days.
Right, and so you would tear that right out and start over.
Sure, it's something we haven't decided yet. We'll have to, when we bring the professional in, because they're so old, we don't know. We might have to do that. Mm-hmm. As for the kitchen and dining room, it was just old vinyl flooring. And we just took it up, right it down to the studs, like you could see into the basement, and we put the subfloor in from scratch and with 3,000 screws or something after. And
was it full sheets of vinyl? It wasn't the square.
It was full sheets of vinyl over top 50-year-old linoleum.
Wow.
So it was actually kind of interesting, because the woman who grew up in this house lives across the street, and she said that when we pull up the floor, there was a certain part, a picture on the old linoleum that she wanted, and we were able to get that for her. So that was kind of neat. But we just took up all the whole, we were going to just peel off the top vinyl, but we decided to go right down to the studs and redo it all.
Was it a huge job doing that? Or
yeah. That was,
well, it was physically demanding to take it down, and because we were putting,
were you heating and scraping and,
No. We took the floor right up. We didn't. We were going to peel it off, but then we decided after just a few tries, that was crazy.
Yeah, they'd use something like 2 million nails to screw the subfloor or to nail the subfloor down.
So,
but we took it all up and took it right down to the joist so that we could start with fresh plywood.
So you were seeing the basement.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that way we both glued and screwed the new subfloor down in order to get a real stable thing for putting ceramic tile onto. There can't be any movement at all.
How about windows and doors? Do you guys do windows and doors?
Yeah, we've done all those back in the kitchen where we...
Yeah, weren't you here, Big JD, when you helped us put those... put that stud in?
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah.
There was a
single. I did all this.
Yes.
Yeah, you did all this. Well, supervised it well. There was one window in there, and then we tore out the one wall of...
Put 20 in.
And put in four windows across.
Four windows.
But that was one of those jobs where we needed 20 sets of hands
or
for about 10 minutes, and just to put that header in to keep, and that was it.
Yeah, it was a manufactured.
And then we put the windows in ourselves, and we put the windows and the doors in, and we do all that. Well, I shouldn't say we do all that. Dennis knows how to do it, and he's taught me, and I help him.
But yeah, it's really brightened up.
Mm-hmm.
The kitchen was so much glass.
Oh.
And you have sun. Where does
the morning?
Does this face?
The morning comes.
Yeah, the morning sun. It's really great. Yeah, it's really nice in the morning.
Very nice. And how about exterior, like fences, porches, decks, gazebo, anything like that? Have you done?
Yeah, we did all the decking around the pool and
did the fencing.
Did fencing and gates and so on and so on.
Built the pool house that houses the heater and the pump. And I think the only thing we haven't done in the backyard was put the pool in itself. That's definitely a professional's job. Yeah. But 2 years ago, we it was all gardens in the back. And 2 years ago, we decided that, I decided it was just too much. And so we brought in truckloads of compost and hand spread that into the backyard and spread the seeds, the grass seeds, and grew our own lawn. So, yeah, I think we've done just about everything except the pool.
Yeah, I'd like to get into a little more of the exterior, and we'll do that as soon as we come back. Okay, continuing on here, we were talking about exterior work, and I had mentioned fences and decks, gazebos, and things like that, maybe outdoor lighting. How big of you built an actual change room?
Change house.
Change house outside there?
Yeah.
And...
It houses the mechanics for the pool, the pump and the heater, and we added just enough to have a little changing room in there, a little bit of privacy. We built it as big as we could without considering it an outbuilding, 10 by 10, is it? Yeah, something like that. And that's another thing you have to really know is city permits, city limits too.
Yeah, that's something I want to ask you, because that was something that was kind of maybe a little bit indirectly related, like I mentioned about the different kinds of materials and maybe waste and garbage and stuff. But as far as zoning and that kind of thing, or building and needing permits or anything like that, have you run into any, like for your garage, or... Did you have to... Because you already had a garage there, though, right? There was a detached...
But it was torn down, and the new one was built in a new location. So there had to be full permits. Mm-hmm. And you really want to work with the inspector, because if you get on the wrong side of an inspector, and, you know, if you're a marked person, you know, you're going to be in trouble from then on. So you need to find out, go to your own planning office, find out what's required, your own building department... Get what you need.
Now, I've heard mixed things on the costs of those type of things. Is it expensive to?
No, I think it's more of the hassle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, going down there and standing in line, and then they want certain plans drawn a certain way. And
you don't necessarily have to pay thousands of dollars for
for the permits, you mean?
Permits.
Oh, no. It's just the trouble.
They're just a pain in the neck.
And then they want to, and then the city inspector wants to come out when you have certain steps done. If you're making a fence, if you've dug the holes, they want to make sure the holes are just deep enough and the cement's just right. And so sometimes it's a hassle just waiting for them to come out.
I see.
Different steps.
But just pay like a one particular fee. You don't pay for them to keep coming and checking
things
or anything along the way, really. And cement outside and stuff? You laid some cement?
Oh, most of
the... Did you guys put in the pool?
No, we hired the pool in and the cement deck around it. But when it gets to pouring concrete now, I'm sorry, I'm getting too old for that.
No, we hired that out.
You hire that out.
Yeah.
And outdoor lighting? You done some outdoor lighting?
Yeah, we haven't done a lot of it, but it's pretty straightforward, and you know, it's just some more wiring, and there's some...
And I guess it's all buried outside, usually.
We haven't done any underground yet.
Oh, no. Well, we had some underground cable.
Oh, we
don't have a pond out there, do you?
No.
No.
Don't even give him any ideas, Chip.
Thinking about a pond, are you?
Yes, he'd love
it. Ponds are awesome. I think you should have a pond out there for sure.
I can't say it.
Okay, Big JD, this interview is over.
Stone or anything? Have you dropped stone anywhere or nothing like that? Fences? Did you?
Well, we've moved lots of decorative stone.
We've moved
stone,
lots of gravel.
We move gravel. We move stone from one location, and then we don't like it there anymore, so we move it somewhere else. And it's just part of the fitness exercises that goes along.
The older you get, the less stones you move at a time.
That's true. You
start carrying one over.
And then after you get too tired, you just go out and get a bobcat and just move them.
Well, but that's the bobcat.
Or just agree that
chaos.
It looks good where it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, no, a bobcat's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got a big enough yard to drive a bobcat around.
Well, that's how we leveled all the clay out from the construction, using a bobcat. Worked away at it in June on hard concrete and pounded away with a shovel and everything else. Worked and worked for weeks and then went and rented a bobcat and in a couple hours did the whole thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes doing it entirely on your own doesn't make sense. You just kill yourself for nothing.
There's easier ways sometimes.
Go rent the bobcat, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'd rent one of those just for fun, if I didn't have to do any work.
Yeah, that's right.
And the fence in the back, privacy fence?
We did that.
Yeah,
because privacy fences, at some point in time, they didn't seem to exist at all. They were always chain link.
Well, everywhere. That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but there's that saying that fences make the best neighbors, and it's true.
Hmm. Keep them out.
That's right.
And how about planning? As far as big jobs, small jobs, what about the planning stage?
Even planning something small is really important. Otherwise, you're going back and redoing something, and because something wasn't done, when it gets done, it's, well, that's not exactly what was in mind, and so the planning is really a big part of it.
Over the years, we've learned, when we first moved in, we took the wall down between the kitchen and dining room, and that was the only thing we thought about, is we want to take that wall down, and then when we took the wall down, then now what do we do? And it took a long time, and I think we had a lot of arguments and problems because we hadn't planned ahead of time, and we hadn't been realistic about how long things would take and how much work. So we have learned over the years that we sit down and we write things down, how long things will take, what the steps, like we're doing bathrooms right now, and first, and we have step by step, first demolition, first we do this and first we do that. We have it all listed so that we don't forget things. When you've got the walls all bare, you want to make sure you do all the electrical, that sort of thing, and also listing the kind of material you want. So we have learned over the years that taking the time to prepare and to make the steps chronological as best as possible makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that's, like, for our listeners, anybody that's interested in taking on any jobs, renovating, doing anything yourself, it's probably one of the biggest things to consider is the planning stage.
Yes.
Planning your jobs, not just jumping into something that you might not be able to handle.
Well, and another part of it, too, is to keep from killing each other. You have, Lynn thinks in terms of, she has a picture in her mind. She can visualize what she wants and what it's going to look like. And I'm thinking in terms of, you know, supports and
how to build it
and whatever.
The mechanics.
Well, those are two different mindsets. Mm-hmm. And it's not that one's wrong. You need both those mindsets.
Right, yeah.
And but if you don't get those two mindsets connected and on the same page, and what we've learned is the only way we find that we really, really understand each other is that we draw it out, we write it out, we get it all down in detail, and it's more in order that we both are not misunderstanding the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us work together a lot better.
Do you think it would be more difficult for one person, or if one of you in particular just thought of something that you wanted to do and had to do it yourself without the input from the other?
Absolutely.
Make it a lot more difficult.
Well, with me, it would be that it wouldn't look as nice as what it looks. You know, like Lynn has a creative eye that I appreciate it when it's done, but as far as visualizing it ahead of time, I'm not good that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would build would be very functional, but it wouldn't have the same appeal.
Yeah, isn't that funny how some people, they visualize, and others it's like the mechanics, the know-how, and the, you know, they have that's a strange thing.
But the stress comes when like in the early days of us not realizing that, and we didn't understand why, like, isn't she listening? And it wasn't that she wasn't listening, she didn't hear it. She wasn't thinking the same way, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that we were trying, one or the other was trying to be difficult. It's that we were thinking differently, and we've learned how to communicate a lot better. And that's also then made the renovating a lot more fun.
You brought that up.
Yeah, it is.
That's an important thing, especially for couples renovating.
I would say it's really important. And you don't look at the other partner and say, they're crazy, you know, what's wrong with them?
Exactly,
they aren't listening. Mm-hmm. No, it's that the two of you got to sit down and you got to find out how you can communicate.
Yeah, you have different processes of the way that you visualize or the mechanics.
Two different minds.
How about magazines and pictures and things like that, as far as planning your ideas? And
tons of them.
They're invaluable. You can't get enough magazines. And we go to open houses and we go to other people's houses to get ideas. And again, watching television, one of the best places that we get ideas too is, and that we enjoy going to, is Home Depot. Going to the, mm-hmm. just the going to the stores and getting ideas and looking at, what do you think about this? And but magazines are invaluable when I'm sitting down having dinner, if it's ever by myself, just flipping through a magazine, and you may not get the exact look or want the exact look, but it gives you so many ideas.
You sometimes come across something that you hadn't even thought of doing.
Absolutely.
But you see it and think,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
It also starts to stimulate you and get you excited, sure. too, mm-hmm. and say, oh, wow, it wouldn't, you know, our place doesn't look good enough. You know, yeah. It would look good if we did something different.
Right. Last point that I want to touch on is something that you had mentioned before the show, and that was actually living in a place for a while before you consider
again
a lot of the renovation, because yeah. you would possibly do things differently now than you might have a long time ago. When you had first moved into the house, or
it's a good point, Big JD. We did some things when we first moved in that we actually undid a few years later. So we have definitely learned, and we tell people that we have neighbors across the street who just moved into a house. That one of the things we've learned, whether you want to listen to us or not, is you need to live in a place for a few years before, especially before you do a kitchen, because we definitely wouldn't have done what we did today. You have to know the flow, how you work in it best. The places that the kitchens and bathrooms where you really have a lot of plumbing and things that can't be moved easily once you move them, you definitely want to live in it and know how you use it before you design redo it.
Right.
That kind of ties back even it certainly fits with what we were talking about at the beginning about someone starting off who maybe doesn't have a lot of skill level. So don't think in terms of just tearing the whole place apart and making, doing major things. Your skill levels are built if you start off just doing little changes, little things. And that also allows your ideas about the house to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going to live in the house for a while and keep
exactly.
the house.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're not just a fixer-upper.
And that's a good point, too, is what I call it, is this your forever house? Is mm-hmm. this the place you're going to live until you are too old to live in a house again? Or is this a place you're going to live for a few years? You have to really think about the money and time and energy you're going to put into it as well.
Yeah, great. Another great point. And we'll leave everybody with that. So you have lots of information there, and you can check out your local Home Depots or do some searching online, flip through some magazines, and take a look at
cable
what
TV.
Other people have done. Cable TV, sure. We really appreciate having you guys on the show.
Thanks, Big JD.
And thanks for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome. And this is JD signing off here for All Talk Radio, and you talking to me, youtalkingtome.ca. See you next week.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest, every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. Youtalkingtome.ca.